Today, poverty lies in distortions and social consequences. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, latest post covering finance and property news. If you look at the data on property and specifically mortgage lending, there is something lurking in the woodshed. You need to be older and wealthier to play. Mainstream bank lending has become the preserve of wealthier, older borrowers, with a combination of lending rules, risk aversion, climbing asset prices, and rising living costs, locking younger, less wealthy Australians out of the housing market. This, despite the promise banks are here to help and the claims across the media and socials that property is now booming. The rational credit is dressed up under the guise of responsible lending following the Royal Commission review, which identified predatory behaviour among some lenders. But the gap between housing's haves and have-nots simply keep growing, as will the societal, political and economic risks that follow. The fallout to those renting is also consequential, as my ongoing surveys have been tracking. Looking at mortgage borrowing specifically, data at the end of last year from CBA suggests that the borrowing capacity of owner-occupiers fell by about 40% since 2017, and there are twice as many loans being written for households with incomes over $200,000 as there are for loans with households with incomes under $100,000. The then ANZ Chief Executive Shane Elliott said last year, "If you want a loan, you have to be better off and essentially rich. There's big social consequences and political consequences to write about that." We saw this play out in the election, with housing affordability being a central issue, though, as I discussed recently with Leith Van Onselen from Macro Business, net effect of said policies and incoming interest rate cuts will make property even less affordable. Australia holds the prize in terms of the degree of leverage households have, with more than $11 trillion in property assets across the country. The proposition of first-time borrowers only needing a 5% deposit, the gap between that and the typical 20% being covered by the government, which is Labour policy and so replacing lenders' mortgage insurance, will first create public sector risk ahead and second squeeze the lender mortgage insurers to oblivion. This is rich in unintended consequences and, of course, it will lift prices higher. Incidentally, we should note that the chairman of the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority, John Lonsdale, has made it clear that he has little desire to unwind any of the changes to improve financial stability following the global financial crisis and has steadfastly rejected moving the loan serviceability buffers, which requires lenders to test whether borrowers can cope with an interest rate of 3% higher than what they're being offered. So essentially, banks have de-risked and commoditized their businesses so much that they're perhaps failing to fulfill their fundamental role in society by stifling SME credit, innovation, productivity, and future economic growth, to quote Byron Joey's John Mott. Remember, lower capital requirements makes loans more profitable for the banks and encourages lending, which is why we're seeing less lending for SMEs, once the economic engine of the economy, but are now spluttering along, but much more credit flowing to more affluent mortgage holders, including property investors. We continue to see some borrowers who are so leveraged that they have effectively become mortgage prisoners, people who cannot leave their existing lender and are often paying higher rates than perhaps they should be. And by the way, the proposal that banks should be able to exclude or adjust student debt from borrowing capacity calculations does nothing for housing supply and also involves making broad brush and potentially risky assumptions about the links between education and income. Turning to the latest property data, the current weekly auction clearance rates fell to the lowest nationally so far this year, with buyers and sellers taking a break over the long weekend, disrupting an advancing recovery in the housing market, according to some. The number of auctions scheduled fell sharply in the past week, down by more than half from the previous week, as most states recognised the King's Birthday long weekend. And despite the lower volume on offer, the preliminary auction clearance rate also waned, falling to 63.8% nationally, making it the lowest preliminary result so far this year. That's according to Catality. Over the previous 2 weeks, the preliminary clearance rates was about 70% or even higher. Sydney's market suffered most from the holiday pause, with its preliminary clearance down to 59.9% compared to 69.9% a week earlier. Outside of the volatile January results, this was Sydney's lowest preliminary clearance rate so far this year, said Cotality Research Director Tim Lawless. The weak clearance rate disrupts the earlier trend of a strengthening auction market. So interesting to see if the preliminary clearance rate revises higher once the collection is finished, or the trend recovers after the long weekend. Meanwhile, the Melbourne market extended its run of stronger clearances, recording a preliminary clearance rate of 71.5%. It's the sixth week running that Melbourne has posted an early success rate above 70%, but it was the lowest preliminary clearance rate for the city since the last week of April, again according to Catality. And among the smaller markets, Adelaide has the strongest success rate at 60.3% on the preliminary tally, ahead of Brisbane, which was at 58.3% on a higher volume. Canberra recorded a 54.5% success rate on preliminary results. Now, some are calling this a blip, as both buyers and sellers are typically less active over holiday long weekends, and they expect a bounce back in the coming weeks and a return to the momentum that has driven the market this year on the back of falling interest rates. Of course, lackluster economic growth figures last week have increased expectations that the RBA will move to cut the cash rate for the third time when it meets on July the 7th and 8th, and financial markets see a 91% chance that the RBA will drop the official rate to 3.6% from 3.85%. The two rate cuts so far this year have reversed a short and shallow housing correction, with prices steadily inching higher since February at the aggregate level as buyers gain confidence. But look carefully, and this growth is not uniform. And we should also note the social consequences, with household formation postponed by up to a decade and low birth rates as a result, as well as people holding mortgages as they enter into retirement. One other factor of note is that more and more millennials and Gen Zers are purchasing a house or apartment to rent out while they remain at home living with their parents as a way to build wealth through property. They're known as stayvesters. There are some buyers who are up to their third property but are still camping out in a bedroom at their parents' homes. For others, it's more about housing affordability. While they've been able to save up a deposit, high interest rates have made servicing their mortgage on their own too daunting, so they're opting to lease out homes to help with their mortgage commitments. Tim Abbott, Project and Development Director at Ray White, said he'd seen quite a few stayvesters entering the market, especially lately. They might not have the ability to service the mortgage for themselves, Abbott told the Financial Review. They often get in and buy off the plan, and then, while staying at home and still saving money, rent them to help pay a portion of the mortgage in the early years and with a view to maybe moving into it or keeping it as an investment down the track. But taking my point about credit now being a luxury good and restricted to only the wealthiest households, recent data show that in 2018, households earning under $125,000 received 50% of owner-occupied mortgage credit, while households earning over $200,000 received about 23%. But now, the cohort earning under $125,000 received only 12% of owner-occupied loans, while those households earning over $200,000 received more than 60%. More than that, households earning over $500,000, that is the top 1 to 2% of households in Australia, now receive more owner-occupied credit than the bottom 55%. Talk about distortions. Data from residential property services group Oliver Hume shows the scale of the challenge that younger Australians are facing to get into the market. Over the past 6 years, the average cost of house and land package in Melbourne, for example, has jumped 39% to around $750,000, but the borrowing capacity of a typical dual-income household has fallen 24% to around $522,000. In Sydney, a typical house and land package has risen by 37% to be well over the $1 million range, but the borrowing capacity of a typical young couple has also fallen by about 24% to $676,000. Talk about gaps. This means a young household can no longer afford a home and land package unless they previously owned a home and have accumulated housing equity or have received money from family members like the bank of mum and dad. The housing market is indeed broken, And CBA Chief Executive Matt Common summed this up neatly recently, saying, there's a very important compact between generations. We need to be leaving the country better off for the next generation. And I think there's evidence that younger people increasingly don't feel that that's occurring, and not unreasonably either. Spot on. Now, I'll be discussing this with Edwin on our property rant on Monday, and we'll be asking what is happening on the ground. But then there is a broader issue still. Given home prices are stoked by high debt, creating an extraordinary bubble, the question is, could it burst? Well, cue Harry Dent, famous author and economist who, based on his long cycle analysis, believes a bust is coming, even if, thanks to continued government efforts, it's a bust postponed, at least for now. Given where things stand, I wanted to explore this in more detail with Harry, and so I'll be running a special event next Wednesday, Sydney time at 7 a.m. and repeated again at 7 p.m, where we'll be looking at what is going on here, and also with Troy Harris, asking whether Bitcoin offers a way forward. For anyone interested in these big picture issues or thinking about wealth management in uncertain times, this is one to join. You can sign up using the link below. We are indeed in uncertain times, and there will be consequences from sustaining wealth and the broader societal and economic consequences. Join me next Wednesday to hear more. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.